All right, good morning, beloveds, and thank you very much, Ken. As Ken mentioned, this is our second Sunday gathering, and our mystery minister for November is Reverend Carl Lammers. So, Carl, this mic is all yours.
Well, thank you, Gloria. Let's do a quick mic check. Can you all hear me? Okay, great, great. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And again, thank you, Gloria. Welcome to our weekly gathering. Welcome to those of you who are here in the sanctuary, and welcome to everyone that's listening on the internet radio, and to those who are listening to the recording. Thank you all for being here, and again, welcome. My name is Carl Lammers, and I am honored and grateful to be here with you today. Let's get started with our greeting time while Lynn plays some music. Releasing the mic to Lynn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here, men into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Satchidananda.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Asking for and receiving inner guidance is what I will be reading and sharing about this morning. This comes from the teaching that Jesus gave us in The Quiet Answer from A Course in Miracles. Here he teaches us how to ask our inner guidance a question so that we can hear the answer. This aligns perfectly with our first core value, which is we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So before we go on, I'm going to go over today's announcements. And here's the first announcement. Join us in the sanctuary on Monday evenings beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific for 1 hour of meditation together. We use meditation audios that Reverend Karen Worth created from the Awareness, Watching Awareness descriptions in Michael Langford's book, The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. After meditation, join Reverend Rebecca Gibson at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for her new program, The Inner Journey with Prayer. This time will be spent looking at different prayer formats, from structures of formal prayer to the simple praying one's experience, with the goal of finding how prayer can answer and support. From The Short Path to Enlightenment, Instructions for Immediate Awakening. Jean Yeo is on at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. She facilitates a discussion of Brent Haskell's book, Journey Beyond Words. Jean is followed by Regina Dawn Akers at 9:30 p.m. She shares from Nisargadatta Maharaj book, I Am That. And then Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, this is currently open for a new program, so contact Ken at awakeningtogethersanctuary@gmail.com if you're interested in taking that 30-minute time slot. Then Reverend Ruby Nasser comes up Monday nights by sharing from Gina Lake's book, All Grace, beginning at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Our second announcement is we are watching two movies from this month's movie discussion group. The first movie is The Game, which is one of my favorites. The Game, starring Michael Douglas. And then the second movie is The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring Bill Murray. These two movies go together very well. They depict two different ways to experience the dream of separation. Watch The Game first, and then watch The Man Who Knew Too Little second. Come to our movie discussion group on Sunday, November 26th, and let us know what you saw in these movies. The third announcement is we have two announcements regarding the upcoming holiday season. First, our sanctuary will be closed on Wednesday, November 22nd, so that our staff and speakers can use that time to prepare for the Thanksgiving holiday, which is the following day. Also, if you are ready for holiday music, check out Awakening Together's Christmas music list on YouTube. It's a playlist of about 200 songs, and it's still growing. Just search for Awakening Together Christmas List in YouTube, or go to the Awakening Together YouTube channel and find the Christmas list amongst our other playlists. And the last announcement, join us in the sanctuary tonight for Fully Human, Fully Divine Satsang with Greg Holiday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Also, Regina will be here at 7 p.m. Eastern with the Seven Steps to Awakening, followed by an archived Holy Spirit Guides audio. So that concludes our announcements, and I'm going to release the mic to Lynn. I think.
Hold on. Some words I never said. There are some words I never said before. Don't need a million years, yet here I am, singing this song to you. This is how it goes. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on. Hold on. And when I say those little words, yeah, you say that you don't care about me. Only million years. Yes, I'll cry my little tears for you. This is what they will say.
Thank you, Lynn. That was beautiful. So let's just take a moment. Let's just sit together. If you like, close your eyes. Let's just be together right now. Try to be free from thought for just a moment. The past is gone. The future not a thought. Let's just take a few seconds to adjust into presence. Be silent for a few seconds. We sit in this peace that is offered in pure presence now, knowing that all is well. We are safe. We are secure. We are loved. We are open. We are open to your plan for us, Father. Through your grace, right here, right now. Thank you. Amen. Okay. We are going to, my dear friend Chris Suchak is going to do the reading today. So, Chris, I'm going to release the mic for you.
Can you hear me? Beautiful. Good morning, Sonship. Hi, Reverend Carl. I know why you picked this reading. It's one of your favorites. There, you've been called out. Here we go. The teachings of Inner Ramana, received by Regina Dawn Akers. The Purpose of Surrender, Part 2. The mind creates experience that is not real. It is illusion or fantasy, and it is created for the purpose of enjoyment or pleasure. But when the mind forgets reality and sees the unreal is real, fear is a necessary component. The mind is afraid because the unnatural is not natural. And the mind is afraid because, the mind that has forgotten reality knows that something is wrong, but does not know what that is. It projects stories in an effort to give itself a reason for fear, but it cannot find the answer it seeks because it is looking in the wrong direction. Its fear does not come from its own projections, and so solutions to those projections cannot end the fear. Fear comes simply from not knowing reality. And therefore, the only answer to fear is to let go of what is false and to remember reality is true. Discarding the world is as simple as remembering that it isn't true. This is as simple as living from within instead of from without. One who is forgetting the world takes his cues from within, and when observed, he may seem to respond without. He may even seem to respond to his own thoughts, which are still without. But this is only if you observe him from without. And without will see without, and within will see within. One who is awakening to the truth is also discarding the world, which includes discarding his thoughts about the world. And so this one is learning to take all of his cues from within, from beyond the clouds of his thoughts. True perception is a bridge. Guidance is a bridge. And to feel that one is awakened or living outside the mind when one is experiencing perception or guidance is an error. And to say that one lives outside of the mind when one experiences perception is to remain deluded. But to listen to guidance and to say one is guided by the mind outside of the mind is not to be deluded. It is merely to describe the experience in words. It is merely to recognize the mind is needed to experience perception, but guidance is the echo of knowledge filtered through mind. One who listens to guidance may be said by others to be awakened, but this one will say he is realized only because he realizes the truth, even as he experiences perception. He listens to knowledge because he knows that one who sees perception can truly see, but one who is not attached can be guided. Non-attachment and realization are one. Seeing truth is to be awakened. World-focused thought is always an error. It is attachment, and therefore it's dreaming or remaining deluded. To help people with world-focused thoughts by providing them world-focused solutions is assisting one to dream. Therefore, the awakened one, who who has accepted the role of continuing the awakening will not assist in world-focused concerns by providing world-focused answers. The awakened one will assist the world focus by observing the filter with the one who has a desire to awaken. When one is not world focused, guidance within the world occurs naturally. Non-attached activity within perception is not a hindrance to awakening. Attached activity is a means of clinging to the dream. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, for that heartfelt reading. When one is not world-focused, guidance within the world occurs naturally. Non-attached activity within perception is not a hindrance to awakening. Attached activity is a means of clinging to the dream. Thank you so much, Chris. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be reading and sharing from The Quiet Answer. Every morning around 9:15, Chris and I and about 19 or 20 other people join together in reading the text. There's a schedule, and we read so much every day. And two or three weeks ago, when we read The Quiet Answer, I had not thought about what I was going to be talking about today. As soon as we finished reading, and I went, bingo, that's it. And so I started taking a deep dive into The Quiet Answer. So I'm going to be reading and sharing from The Quiet Answer, and I'm reading from A Course in Miracles original edition, and if you want to take a look at The Quiet Answer as we go along, you can find it in Chapter 7, The Body and the Dream. It's in Section 5 of that chapter, and if you are looking at the FIP edition, you can find it in Chapter 27, Section 4. Then in addition, we'll be using the teachings of Inner Ramana to kind of cap this off. We'll be looking at the purpose of surrender. Chris just read The Purpose of Surrender Part 2, and we'll be looking at the purpose of surrender and the teachings of Inner Ramana. So The Quiet Answer starts off, and I'm going to set my timer here real quick so I don't get carried away. There we go. Okay, the Quiet Answer starts off, in quietness are all things answered, and is every problem quietly resolved. I like the way he always seems to always give us a big clue about what he's about to teach. It's really in that sentence, but there's a lot more here that I'll be talking about. So back to the reading. In conflict, there can be no answer and no resolution. For its purpose is to make, conflict's purpose is to make no resolution possible and to ensure no answer will be plain. A problem set in conflict has no answer, for it is seen in different ways. And what would be an answer from one point of view is not an answer in another light. You are in conflict. Thus, it must be clear, you cannot answer anything at all, for conflict has no limit effects. So simply said, when I'm upset, when you are upset, don't try this, because the answer will come from ego, unless that's where you want your answer to come from, and we know that's not the case. Back to the reading. Yet, if God gave an answer, there must be a way in which your problems are resolved, for what he wills already has been done. So there is a way to get an answer through accessing inner wisdom. The answer is there and always has been there and always will be there. So continuing, paragraph 37. Thus it must be that time is not involved and every problem can be answered now. Yet it must also be that in your state of mind, solution is impossible. It's impossible because you're upset. Therefore, God must have given you a way of reaching to another state of mind in which the answer is already there. Such is the holy instant. So, aha, the holy instant. So, what is the holy instant? He told us earlier in the text, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. It is here, the holy instant, that all your problems should be thought, brought, and left. Here they belong, for their answer is, and where its answer is, a problem must be simple and be easily resolved. It must be pointless to attempt to solve a problem where the answer cannot be. Yet just as surely it must be resolved if it is brought to where the answer is. So this makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Don't attempt to ask for guidance when you're upset. Ask in the holy instant. Okay, now, what is the holy instant? We're going to use A Course in Miracles to answer that, and then I'll give you my 2 cents worth. So A Course in Miracles says in chapter 15, section 3, Time and Eternity, paragraph 21, and I'm reading from paragraph 21, start now to practice your little part in separating out the holy instant. You will receive very specific instructions as you go along. To learn to separate out this single second and begin to experience it as timeless is to begin to experience yourself as not separated. Okay, so it seems to me the holy instant requires timelessness, and a timelessness and a condition in which we're not separate. Well, bingo. That for me is the state of mind that we call awareness. Watching only awareness. Awareness watching awareness. It's a thoughtless moment when I am centered in presence, in awareness. That for me is the holy instant. Now this next part is pretty cool and reassuring, and so I'm reading on about the holy instant. Fear not that you will not be given help in this. Fear not that you will not be given help in this. So for me, that says, fear not that you will not be given help in the practice of awareness, watching awareness, the practice of sitting in presence. God's teacher and his lesson will support your strength. It is only your weakness that will depart from you in this practice. That's good news, huh? For it is the practice of the power of God in you. Use it but for one instant, and you will never deny it again. Who can deny the presence of what the universe bows to in appreciation and gladness? Before the recognition of the universe, which witnesses to it, your doubts must disappear. So, the holy instant is awareness, not paying attention to anything else but awareness, which we're learning to do. And if you're part of the Gentle Healing Group, you're doing it on a daily basis. So, does this mean that I have to meditate to experience the holy instant or awareness, watching awareness? And for me, the answer is no. Awareness is always present, and as long as my attention is not on something other than awareness, it's on awareness. So just that 1, 5, 10 seconds that I drop into awareness, that's the holy instant. For me, that's the same thing that A Course in Miracles is talking about. That is the holy instant. So hopefully I'm making sense here to everybody. But I do think that the more you sit in meditation with awareness, watching awareness, the easier it becomes to access that on the fly, outside of a formal meditation time. So back to the quiet answer. This is paragraph 38. Attempt to solve no problems but within the holy instant's surety. For there the problem will be answered and resolved. Well, that's good news, huh? Outside, or in the world, there will be no solution, for there is no answer there that can be found. Nowhere outside in the world, a single simple is ever asked. The world can ask only a double question with many answers, none of which will do. It does not ask to be answered, but only to restate its point of view. So important. This is so important. All questions asked within this world are but a way of looking not at a question. A question asked in hate cannot be answered because it's an answer in itself. A double question asks and answers, both attesting to the same thing in different form. So, we now know what a double question is. It is a question that contains the answer in it. And a little later, we'll get to some examples of double questions, but simply stated. And I did a fair amount of research on this on the internet, but simply stated, they are closed-ended questions. And we'll get to a little more of that later. I'm going to see how I'm doing on time. All right, so back to the reading. 39. The world asks but one question, and it is this. Of these illusions, which of them are true? Which ones establish peace and offer joy? and which can bring escape from all the pain of which this world is made. Whatever form the question takes, its purpose is the same. It asks but to establish sin or separation. It asks but to establish separation as real and answers in the form of preference. Which sin or idol do you prefer? That is the one which you should choose. The others are not true. What can the body get that you would want the most of all? It is your servant and your friend, but tell it what you want, and it will serve you lovingly and well. And this is not a question, for it tells you what you want and where to go for it. It leaves no room to question its belief, except that what it states takes a question form. 40. A pseudo-question has no answer. It dictates the answer even as it asks. Thus is all questioning within the world a form of propaganda for itself, just as the body's witnesses are but the senses from within itself. So are the answers to the questions of the world contained within the question. Where answers represent the questions, they add nothing new, and nothing has been learned. So a pseudo question is the same as a double question. It is nothing more than a closed-ended question, which questions nothing more but a closed-ended question, which is a question that provides the respondent with a fixed number of responses from which to choose an answer. It is made of a question and a set of answers or alternatives. The most commonly known questions are those which are answered by a yes or no. And if you think about it, a question that can be answered with a yes or no contains the answer within the question. You know, questions like, should I wear this shirt? Should I order the hamburger? Should I ask her for a date? Is that your final answer? Should I go to the movie? All of those kinds of questions contain the answer. They're limited. An honest question, now I'm going back to the reading. An honest question, and that's what we want to learn to do. Or, and not so much probably learn, but remember to do. An honest question is a learning tool which asks for something that you do not know. All right, here we go. This is the bottom line. The bottom line is, what's an honest question? Back to the reading. It does not set conditions for response, but merely ask what the response should be. Now, this sounds like a simple, open-ended question to me. Could it really be that simple? Closed-ended questions contain the answer, and open-ended questions don't? So, what are open-ended questions? A little Googling told me that, and I'm paraphrasing, open-ended questions, also known as unstructured questions, refer to those questions for which the answer or response are provided by the respondent, not the questioner. So back to the reading. But no one in conflict state is free to ask this question, for he does not want an honest answer where the conflict ends. Okay, now, so the conditions that will reply to the honest question. Here they are. I'm reading. Only within the holy instant can an honest question honestly be asked. And from the meaning of the question does the meaningfulness of the answer come. Here it is possible to separate your wishes from the answer, so it can be given you and also be received. The answer is provided everywhere, yet it is only here it can be heard. Well, what does that mean? The answer is provided everywhere. Could it be that the truth is everywhere, the holy instant is? Is it truth where, is it truth where my awareness resides? And can that answer only be heard when my attention is not cast on something else? Back to the reading. An honest answer asks no sacrifice because it answers questions truly asked, honest questions. The questions of the world, but ask of whom is sacrifice demanded, asking not if sacrifice is meaningful at all. And so unless the question tells of whom, it will remain unrecognized, unheard, and thus the question is preserved intact because it gave the answer to itself. The holy instant is the interval in which the mind is still enough to hear an answer which is not entailed within the question asked. It offers something new and different from the question. How could it be answered if it but repeats itself? So, paragraph 43. Therefore, attempt to solve no problems in a world from which the answer has been barred. In other words, don't attempt to solve any problems outside of the holy instant, outside of presence, but bring the problem to the only place which holds the answer lovingly for you, the holy instant. Here are the answers which will solve your problems because they stand apart from them. So your problems, there are no problems in the holy instant, are there? If we are in that thoughtless moment, sitting with awareness, with our attention cast nowhere else, there's no such thing as a problem, because if there was, we'd be thinking. So, I'm going to repeat. Here are the answers which will solve your problems because they stand apart from them. And see what can be answered. See what the question is. Within the world, the answers merely raise another question, though they leave the first unanswered. In the holy instant, you can bring the question to the answer. Both the question and the answer lie in that holy instant, in the holy instant. So in the holy instant, you bring the question to the answer and receive the answer that was made for you. So, pretty cool, isn't it? Real answers are available when we ask real questions, not questions that include the answer, not with closed-ended questions. And if you really think about it, when we're asking closed-ended questions, the questions contain the answer. So not with closed-ended questions, but with open-ended questions, asked of our true self, in a state of presence, asked in thoughtless awareness. So now I want to move over to the teachings of Inner Ramana to help bring this home a little bit. Let's see how I'm doing on time. I think I'm okay. As I said earlier, I'm going over to Inner Ramana, the teachings of Inner Ramana, the purpose of surrender. And here we're going to really get a great idea of the kinds of open-ended questions that we can ask. But I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs that lead up to that. We are going to learn not to listen to the mind. We are going to learn not to listen to the mind. First, by listening to another voice, which speaks through the mind, but does not speak from mind, for mind or with mind. So we're going to learn not to listen to the mind first by listening to another voice which speaks through the mind but does not speak from mind, for mind, or with mind. This voice can see mind, and it sees all that mind sees when it looks through mind. But it is outside of mind, so it is not confused about reality. This voice speaks through the filter, so its knowledge, let me read that again. This voice speaks through the filter, so its knowledge can be interpreted for those who still listen to and believe the filter, but the voice is not confused by the filter that it uses. This is the purpose of surrender, to be guided by a voice that is not confused when you are still at a place in mind, a level of vibration, where you can be confused or not confused. In this state, the only way to ensure you have not stepped into confusion is to consistently check with a voice that isn't confused and ask it what you are to do now. Ask it what you are to do now. So this is where we come to wonderful examples of how to ask a question. The question, what am I to do now, is just not a question about activity, although physical guidance is within the realm of guidance given by this voice. The question, what am I to do now, also includes. So these are just wonderful examples of open-ended questions. How am I to see this? How shall I listen? How shall I be now? What am I to hear? What would you have me know? What is my perspective as given by you? How shall I respond? What shall I think? What should you have me see? What would you have me see? What would you have me see in me that I am not seeing? The question, what am I to do now, is a fully inclusive question in which the one who perceives himself as having a separate body and separate mind turns that seemingly separate entity over fully and entirely, so that no seeming independence can be said to remain as separate and on its own existence. This is the idea of being fully plugged in and running on the power of another, or one that is greater. But this perception of running on another is only held to as long as the perception of possible independence persists. once that perception has died, the possibility of perceiving another to surrender has also died. That's the end of the reading of Inner Ramana. So, open-ended questions. It's worth spending some time thinking about how can I begin to ask. I know I have asked open-ended questions, but more often than not, my questions are closed-ended. And I wonder why I'm not receiving all of the guidance that I would like to see. So this has been a wonderful lesson for me. So I hope this gives you some additional insight on how to ask questions. Don't limit your inner guidance by asking questions that contain the answer. Spirit is not free to access the unlimited number of responses to provide what is best for you, what is best for me. Be open to its unlimitedness. Maybe that's a new word. Be open to its unlimitedness. Be open to all that is, so you can receive the quiet answer. Thank you, and amen. Releasing the mic. I think.
Spirit of the living God, thou light and fire divine, descend upon thy church once more and make it truly thine. Fill up with love and joy and peace, till Christ shall dwell in human hearts and sin and sorrow cease.
Shall we rise with him to life?
which soars beyond the grave. Winters shall win true holiness, which makes thy children whole, till perfected by thee.
Hi, sorry, I didn't know if Carl was prepared to come back and invite comment after the contemplation. I wasn't sure. So I thought that maybe I would just step in and do that for him. And it looks like Jacqueline is in the queue to share. So I release the mic for you, Jacqueline.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Regina. I assume you guys can hear me. Okay, good. I raised my hand immediately because I got so excited about Carl's message. Because I have read that section from A Course in Miracles and from In a Ramana, those sections, a number of times. But I hadn't heard it quite the way I did this morning with Carl's message, and what stood out to me, what was really cool is, I'm a lawyer and a judge, and we call the types of questions that Carl was talking about leading questions in the law, and leading questions are generally not permissible when a witness is on the stand. So the reason leading questions are not permissible is because that is tantamount to allowing the lawyer to testify, the lawyer who has all the facts of the case, who knows how he wants the case to go, who knows the spin he wants to put on the case. He's not allowed to ask leading questions because then you get just his perspective on the answer to that question. And what we really want to hear is the truth. What we really want to hear is from the witness to the truth itself. And so I just hadn't heard that in those terms before. And so if we ask ego, which is the lawyer, right? If we ask ego to answer the question, all we're going to get is the ego's spin on things. We're going to be limited by the ego's or the thinking mind, we're going to be limited by that perspective. So if you're asking the thinking mind what to do, you will be limited by the limits of the thinking mind. And as we know, the thinking mind is limited to its filter, its perspective, its spin on the world. So all you're ever going to get if you're asking the thinking mind a question is its spin. So in the quiet answer, in the holy instant, this is when we turn from the thinking mind and allow for the possibility of the true answer to come through, unfiltered by the thinking mind. So it was just really, it was so cool to really hear this in terms of quit asking leading questions, quit asking the thinking mind for the answers to your questions, and just allow for the truth to come through. So thank you, Carl. It was just beautiful, and it was just really, really cool to hear this that way. I'll let go of the mic.
All right, and thank you so much there, Reverend Jacqueline, for that feedback. And if anyone else would like to share today, you are welcome to raise your hands. And if not, I'll ask Lynn to go ahead and play. I also very much enjoyed Carl sharing today, and as well as the additional comments there by Reverend Jacqueline about not trusting that thinking mind, right? It reminded me of a sharing a while back that I did on, you know, the ego is not going to be the way that we get out of where we are. So absolutely, if we're relying on the intellect or the ego in any way, then yeah, we're gonna be spinning our wheels there. All right, so Regina, I see your hand up.
Yeah, hi, I thought it was interesting because in the Gentle Healing Group, our last special theme was, what is the Holy Spirit? And our current special theme is, what is the real world? Which, since I'm a few days ahead of you guys in writing the tips, I just finished what is the real world today. And so I kind of have the 2020 look back at both what is the Holy Spirit and what is the real world. And I can see the totality of the contemplation there. And really, Carl covered that totality today. I'm certain not on purpose. because when we were looking at what is the Holy Spirit, one of the things that we saw was that the Holy Spirit or spiritual intuition is the bridge. We could say it's the bridge that takes us from, you know, the shore of the false self to the shore of total awakening into truth realization. So spiritual intuition is the bridge. And, you know, what about following spiritual intuition is that we are to follow that spiritual intuition until no false self exists at all, which again was exactly what Carl read out of the purpose of surrender and the teachings of Inner Ramana, until no independent existence can be said to exist on its own. When we're looking at the special theme about the real world would be the same as true perception, which is seeing the world through quiet eyes or a mind at peace. And that is really a mind that has learned to be completely merged with spiritual intuition. It is no longer relying on the thinking mind at all. It is completely merged and relying totally on spiritual intuition, which again, Carl touched on today when he was reading from the teachings of Inner Ramana. It talked about how that is not yet awakening, right? And to say that you are awake when you are relying on guidance or when you are experiencing true perception is to still be deluded. So that is not awakening. And of course, the Course says the same thing because it calls the real world just a symbol. In the special theme, or if you look at the text, it calls the real world still a dream. But that is the point where this merging has occurred. So really what happens, again, is we follow spiritual intuition from the perception of the false self as me. We follow spiritual intuition across this bridge. And as we follow it across this bridge, it's like two highways merging, and we become more and more and more merged into one. And by the time we reach the end of that bridge, it's almost as if there is no separate self anymore. There is just this one. In fact, the way Ramana Maharshi words it in the teachings, the spiritual teachings of Ramana Maharshi, is that no mine, M-I-N-E, can be said to exist anymore, right? Because dependence on spiritual intuition has become so strong. But yet, as the special theme, the real world, what is the real world, says at the very end, is once you reach that point of seeing the real world or of being in true perception or in that completely merged state, at that point, there's still another step to be taken. And that's the final step that God takes on his own. So it kind of outlines our job and God's job, if you will. Our job is what Carl laid out today, becoming dependent on spiritual intuition, allowing that merging to occur, getting to that point where there doesn't appear to be a separate self. Notice the word appear. There doesn't appear to be a separate self because the merging is so complete. And then from that state of being fully merged and fully dependent on inner spiritual intuition, God takes the final step, which we also sometimes call manonasa, into awakening. But I just thought that, you know, he really covered so many of those points beautifully in his talk today. And those are exactly what we're contemplating now in the Gentle Healing Group, as well as I happen to be teaching, and Jacqueline is also teaching Inner Ramana now as a part of MPP. So several of the people here are going through Inner Ramana, and obviously those themes are also in Inner Ramana. So it's kind of a mashup of everything that seems to be going on right now, at least, you know, from where I'm working with Gentle Healing and Inner Ramana. So thank you so much, Carl. That was a wonderful summary of everything, and I'm releasing the mic.
Okay, and Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you, Regina. Beautiful. And thank you so much, Carl. What a wonderful teaching this is today, and what a wonderful thing it is to hear on this day of November, where we're moving into holidays and, thinking about the world. And what I noticed from the, especially the reading from the Quiet Answer, where Jesus is telling us here that we can only solve problems in the holy instant. And the holy instant is the only place where there is any answer to anything. And so we don't solve problems by bringing in the past, and we don't solve problems by reaching toward the future. You know, we only solve problems in the place where we are. And so the ego is always looking for some sort of past remembrance or occurrence, or let me look this up, or let me figure this out, or let me try to see where this could have been or happened before so that I can figure out what to do. And the truth is, if you stop trying to figure anything out and you just allow the Holy Spirit to do everything and, you know, truly need do nothing, you do in this whole instant, this holy place where you are just open for inspiration, open for hearing what to do. It's that time, at that time, when these answers come to you. They come to you when the mind is quiet. They do not come to you when the mind is clamoring for help. And so the most important thing then is to allow the mind to quiet and hold back the river of thoughts. And I'm going to play a song. If there are no more comments, and please put your hand up if you want to say something else. But I'm going to play a song, I think, that really opens us up to being in this holy instant, in this moment, and letting go of the mic right now if anyone else wants to pick it up before I play a song.
Well, this is Carl. I would imagine your song, Lynn, is going to kind of play us out here, and I just want to take a moment to thank all of you for being here today. I can't tell you how much I have learned from this opportunity to share with you. And so again, thank you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Try to keep you close to me, but life
got in between. Tried to square, not be in there, but said that I should have been. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so I can stop for a minute and see where you hide. Hold back the river, hold back. Once upon a different life, we rub our backs into the sky. Now we call against the tide. Those distant days are flashing by. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so I can stop for a minute and be by your side. Each other, lonely water.